The Proclaim 2014 Podcasts, recorded by Cradio and XT3.com.
This talk is Evangelizing and Forming Young People by Luke Plant and Scott McDonald from Ignite Youth.
Thanks, Kathy, and obviously no pressure with that. Because it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and we're all feeling, no doubt, a little bit in need of a bit of a wake up, a bit of a hit. One of the big things that's really important to our ministry is painting it and showing exactly what it is that we are, what we look like, so that when young people see it, they go, okay, I get it, and I want to be part of that. So I just want to kick off today with the promo that we use to do that, to help also, I guess, shape this afternoon the way it is that we do ministry. So that's our 30-second promo that we use at our major events and stuff to kick off, and it really, in my humble opinion as one of the creators, is fantastic. What's the point of great marketing if you're just marketing an empty shell, right? So this afternoon, as Kathy said, we just want to go through, I suppose, the challenge of youth ministry in 2014 and drawing upon the wisdom of our church fathers and of the new evangelization. And I want to start just with a really simple question before we really kick in too much. So everyone's here because you care about or you're passionate about or you have an interest in youth ministry, and I would also assume inside that you're Catholic or associated with a Catholic parish or movement or diocese. And so I just would love it if you could find someone next to you and just for 30 seconds answer the question, why does the Catholic Church need a strong response to youth ministry? Why did we need Malcolm talking before? Why do we need Malcolm's role? Why are Luke and I talking? Why do we have Ignite Youth? Why do we need a strong response to youth ministry? So let's just chat about that for 30 seconds. Just find someone with you and have a chat about that question. So a lot of energy. I hope that there was a lot of energy around that question. I want to dive in before we go any further on that and show one of the reasons why we believe the Catholic Church needs a strong response to youth ministry. I'm about to show you one of my favorite slides in the world, and anyone that heard me speak at the Catholic Digital Media Conference yesterday will hear about how I try and insert this slide into every talk. Someone said to me last week, oh, you're speaking about social media at CDMC. Are you going to use the Some Interesting Facts slide? I was like, yeah, it was made for it. So I use this in every talk. So know that I've managed to slip it in here. So this is one of the reasons why we believe we need a strong response to Catholic youth ministry. Brace yourself. If you're a parent of teenage children, you might want to close your eyes for this one. So young teenagers aged 13 to 15 rank entertainment media as the top source of information about sexuality and sexual health. The average age of porn exposure for boys in Australia is now age 11. There's more adult shops than Hungry Jack's stores in Australia. There's more porn pages produced in Australia than Australian Facebook users. Everyone take a breath. Studies show 100% porn exposure for males by age 15. At that age, females have had 97% exposure. Eating disorders have grown 400% since 1970. One in three female students in Australia suffer from behaviours associated with an eating disorder. Think of an average classroom at an all-girls school. It has 30 students, 10 of them are suffering from behaviours associated with an eating disorder. The average adolescent will view nearly 14,000, this stat's from 2009, we think it's probably triple that now, will view nearly 14,000 sexual references per year, yet only 165 of these references deal with birth control, self-control, abstinence, or the risk of pregnancy or STDs. And finally, body image regularly ranks as the most significant concern for teenagers when surveyed. So the solution, from a psychological point of view, teenagers who have positive role models have greater self-esteem, and perform better in schools than teenagers without role models in their lives. These are Australian psychological studies that this stuff comes from. Positive displays of sportsmanship, determination, drive, and ethics by role models can help children to emulate and adopt these positive attributes. And finally, the hope that we have in Jesus, we believe, is far stronger and greater than any of these issues. Last year, I watched a 15-year-old girl be healed from bulimia purely through prayer. Nothing else worked. We tried everything and nothing worked until Jesus stepped in. So that's what we believe and that's what we stand for. And those first two right there, that's youth ministry in a nutshell. Right there is those three areas. So that's one of the really strong reasons that we believe in it. We're going to go a little bit further later about, I suppose, the church's response to this and the spiritual side, but I just want to quickly hand over to Luke.
Fantastic. I think one of the things that we look at with youth ministry is, what's our vision for youth ministry, for your parish, for your youth group, for your school, for your diocese, whatever it is. I think we all know, anyone who's been involved with any sort of circles like this, you need to have a vision for what you're doing. If you're involved in the youth ministry right now, think about what your vision is for youth ministry. If you don't have a vision, be aware. I'm not going to talk too much about vision today, but be aware of, you need to have one. You need to know what you're doing, why you're doing it. The stats we just looked at before are part of the need that we have for our vision, for our ministry, which we'll talk about in a second what our vision is and show you what we came up with. What is our purpose? And our vision for ministry will be different to your vision for ministry. Because our vision for ministry is about the call that God has given us in our ministry to reach the young people who God brings to us, or who do we reach out to. God will give each of us a different vision, a different charism, a different ministry that we play in the church. So one of the questions is, what's your vision? And I think that comes along with that is where your vision fits in with the church's vision, maybe with your parish's vision. So you might have a youth group vision, but one of the questions you need to ask is, how does that fit into our parish vision, or our school vision, or our Dawson vision, or the Norton Cent national vision, or Pope Francis's vision for the church? So we have our own vision, but we also need to be aware of where it fits into the bigger scheme. And one of the questions with our vision is who are we targeting? Who are the people? I think for a long time, and Father Michael and Tom spoke about this morning, that our church had a open the doors and they will come sort of attitude to ministry, to mission, and that worked for so many years. And today that's no longer the case. It's even in us, we rebranded our ministry at this time last year. We've been in ministry in Emmanuel Community for 40 years we've been around. And every now and again, we'll go through a phase where we feel God push us in a new direction, a new emphasis, and we'll do that. And we're back in our one-year anniversary of our current mission, United Youth. But as we unpack that, as we build that, as we prayed about where God was calling us, what we were doing, we're sort of aware of who our audience was for this. For most of, we're talking about our own ministry in Emmanuel, most of our ministry for a long time, and I think probably similar in a lot of your spheres, is about the Catholic kids who come to church. For a long time, that was our people we ministered to. That was who we thought about. Whether people coming to church or parents who have kids that want to fit into the Catholic youth group model, how do we fit them? How do we care for them? How do we teach them about Christ? And obviously all of those things are very important. But one of the things we experienced, and I think probably pushed a bit by Pope Francis and things like that, is need to look outside of that. It's not just opening the doors and see who comes. Not just who's in our pews right now, which families or which parents are giving us pressure to do something for the kids. But who are the kids in our diocese? Who are the kids in our parish boundaries who aren't in the church? So your local high school kids, friends of those already involved. And then those who aren't represented there at all. And even in our own ministry, our own youth group, which I ran for a lot of years, I remember consciously going through all that process of always creating a group for those who were in the church that we connected with, and then the scope of, maybe we should do something that they can invite their friends to, and that was almost a broadening it. And then now in our new look, it's almost an opening ride fully of who's out there, who is not connected, and how do we engage them? How do we connect those who aren't in the church already? And one of the questions is, do our young people feel comfortable inviting their friends? Because you can have a vision for going out beyond the realms, stepping out into the deep. But if what your youth group looks like or what your youth ministry looks like isn't attractive, people aren't going to be interested in coming. So you've almost got the vision you need to have, but also the structure you put around it and what it looks like. What colour is it? What emotions are there? What does it feel like? How do people feel welcome when they turn up? I remember when I was running a youth group a few years ago, having a moment of thinking, we want all our kids to invite their friends along. But you know what? I would invite my friends to this. Like, it was insular, it was clicky, it was just not very exciting, to tell you the truth, at that stage in our ministry. And so rethinking that, re-looking at that, and what does that look like? So what I'm talking about now is what our vision, we rebranded last year. The vision for Ignite Youth, we've got three paragraphs. The first one is talks about Ignite Youth is dedicated to gathering, raising up and sending out a new generation of Catholics who are on fire for Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, formed in the faith and centered in the Eucharist. Young people living their Catholic faith with dynamism and passion to reach out to their world with the life of the gospel. We believe in real-world evangelization. We'll talk about that a bit more. But evangelization that makes sense in the real world, not just in the happy church world, but what's it look like in the real world? Revealing Jesus Christ through the ministry of authentic relationships. So important. The relationships are so important. By engaging young people where they're at and empowering them to use their God-given gifts, our goal is to see young people not just change for a day, but transform for a lifetime. It's young people who receive, who experience, but also who use their gifts and sent out to engage their friends, to be part of the ministry, to not just receive, to be consumers, but actually to be providers. Ignite Youth is a ministry of Emmanuel Community, that's our home, drawing together a network of youth leaders, schools, groups and individuals who share a common vision to communicate the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Using contemporary culture to engage their hearts and minds, our dream is to spearhead the new evangelization of our nation and pave the way for the church of the future. So part of our vision, part of what we feel God is asking us to do is to network with others who are like-minded. And that makes sense. You know, if you want to move forward, any of us, if you want to move forward, you want to network with those who are on the same path, same passion, work together and partner together and be part of what God's doing in this church. So play a video now, which again, we use videos a lot, as you can tell. This is a video we've created to almost frame our ministry. And we show it now, not because this is the be-all and end-all of youth ministry or anything like that, but to give you a glimpse of what we're doing, where we're going, and what we feel God doing, and also looking at the standard at which we ask ourselves to attain.
We believe in real-world evangelization so that young people are not just changed for a day, but transformed for life.
When I was 16, a friend of mine asked me to do a video of a party for him, and I went along and filmed this party and made this video, and it got a lot of views, a lot of people saw it. At the time, I didn't realize, though, that what these videos were doing was it was really glorifying a drinking culture and objectifying women in a certain way. But at the time, I didn't mind, you know. I was good at it, and I liked doing it. It was fun.
I started going to Ignite Youth Group when I was 13, and I really enjoyed the whole environment, the atmosphere, and the friends I met there. 13 can be a pretty confusing age, and I suppose I really appreciated the guidance that some of the youth leaders provided me with. It was just a really supportive environment.
For more than 25 years, the Emmanuel Community has worked together with the Archdiocese of Brisbane to provide a dynamic outreach to young people. Today's world presents a constant challenge to faith, and we've got to make a corresponding response. It's not good enough to sit back and not do anything.
This is an age of social media, podcasts, blogs, and contemporary music. Yeah, if we're not dedicated to speaking to young people in a language which they understand, then we're not really serious. Our dream is to spearhead a new evangelization, new passion, new methods, new techniques, and paving a way for the church of the future.
One of the great things about Ignite Youth is that it offers life-changing mountaintop experiences of faith. A great example is the Ignite Conference, a national event where young people come from across Australia. They encounter Jesus Christ, they encounter the sacraments, they encounter dynamic worship, they're formed in their faith, and then they go back home and transform their local area. Another great event is the Ignite Summer Camp, where high schoolers come from Queensland and interstate to build strong relationships and to be strengthened in their faith for the year ahead.
When I was in year 12, the campus minister of my school invited me to Ignite Conference, and I was a bit hesitant at first, but he pushed me and I ended up going. And on the Friday night was a night of adoration. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. My family is Catholic, so I'd known the Catholic faith my whole life. But that night of experiencing Jesus in that certain way just blew me away. And the next day was a workshop all about drinking culture. And it really made me question what I was doing, making these party videos that were glorifying a culture that was so obviously wrong. So from that point, I knew that I had to change.
We're passionate about discipleship between these major mountaintop events. Three ways that we do this. Ignite Live draws from the experience of the Ignite Conference rally and brings it to a regular local event where young people can come from across the region and be recharged in their faith. Ignite High is about high schoolers coming together and growing in their relationships and through fellowship, growing in their faith. It also connects them in with young adult leaders who are able to mentor them, not just through their faith journey, but also through their week-to-week life journey. But we want to go one step further than this. It's called Ignite Connect, and it's about meeting high schoolers locally and on their turf. And this could be anything from a dance class through to a small group meeting at a McDonald's.
There is a real crisis among young people in today's society. As counsellors, we're seeing issues that were once the exception now becoming the norm. Issues like self-harm, suicide, eating disorders, depression, and many other mental health issues. There is a real need to create opportunities for young people to have positive role models and mentors in their life so that they can get the help they need and prevent these things from happening.
About halfway through high school, I started going through a pretty rough time. I was making some pretty poor decisions that were impacting my life and the life of my friends and my family. I think at some point I chose to be open to one of my youth leaders and honest with her, and what I experienced was love and was her accepting me for who I was. And the thing that impacted me the most about this was that she had no obligation to love me, and it really started to soften my heart to God's love.
What I'm excited about is seeing the circle of mission complete and young people who have been on the journey finding their place, their life, their vocation in the church. It means young people stepping up, putting their faith into action in areas like service and leadership and reaching out with the message of the gospel and impacting their generation.
Straight after Ignite Conference, I really wanted to get involved in Ignite Youth, so I went along to their summer camp and I started making videos of young people in positive environments. From there, I got picked up by Maristis Ministry and other ministries around Brisbane. And I was making videos for God rather than my own ego.
Now what I do is I'm a campus minister, and that desire definitely came from my experience with that youth leader. The way she journeyed with me and showed me God's love is definitely what I want to be able to do for other young people.
I personally endorse Ignite Youth. They reach very effectively many thousands of young people all around the Church of Australia, like none other. These people, they change lives.
This is not a time to be discouraged or downhearted. This is a time to be excited about what God is doing with His young people.
This is a time when we need new fire in the church, a new spark. One of the ways that can happen is Ignite Youth. It has my full support, and I invite you, indeed I urge you, to support it too. Come along, so that you can help the whole church to become a power of good news, a real spark in the whole society.
Awesome. So now that the ad for Ignite Youth is done, let's get practical. I'd really love to dive in and get quite practical, because obviously, to be completely honest with you, the reason why we wanted to set up with our promotional stuff is because we wanted to show you where we got to with going through some of the questions and some of the groundwork that we're going to go over over the next couple of minutes. So let's go to where Pope Francis is right now. I just wanted to pull a few quotes out of Joy of the Gospel that are really good for us to hang our hat on at the moment. We cannot forget that evangelization is first and foremost about preaching the gospel to those who do not know Jesus Christ, who have always rejected him. I just speak completely honest. I know it's just 100 of you guys and me, and no one's tweeting, and this isn't going to go anywhere else. We have, at times, from certain parts of Brisbane, copped a lot of flack for youth group stealing. But the actual truth is that there are 35,000 disconnected high schoolers in Catholic high schools alone, not to mention the state system, in Catholic high schools alone in Brisbane. And we're going after them. The young people that are already in youth groups, we are so happy they're there. We really just aren't interested in them because they're being fed, they're being discipled, and that is fantastic. But we're going straight after the 35,000 unconnected in high school. So don't be afraid to have a vision with that level of audacity. Don't be afraid to acknowledge that there is probably a high school within the bounds of your parish that have young people in it who do not know Jesus or have always rejected him. And our Pope, the boss, the top, okay, probably God, but still, the Pope, he's calling and he's asking for us to go here to meet these people. The second quote that I really wanted to bring up: whenever we make the effort to return to the source and to recover the original freshness of the gospel, new avenues arise, new paths of creativity open up with different forms of expression, more eloquent signs and words with new meaning for today's world. Every form of authentic evangelization is always new. Every form of authentic evangelization is always new. How cool is that? That is one of my favorite quotes. So one of the big things that we talk about is meeting young people where they're at. And this brings forth a lot of things. This for us means both physically and emotionally. So where are young people actually at? Where are, one of the things that I do to myself all the time, I probably do this once every fortnight or so, is I'll spend a day, or I set my phone to go off every hour to do an alarm at a sporadic time every hour, like say 20 past every hour. And I write down on a piece of paper where my key role in Ignite Youth, by the way, is working with high schoolers. But I write down on a piece of paper where high schoolers are at that exact time physically. So that's one of the things that I like to really focus on, is knowing where our Catholic high schoolers are at this time. And of course, emotionally. We went through that big list of issues, so where are they actually emotionally? Jesus was really consistent about going to meet people where they were, and he never expected them to fit the mold. He never expected them to fit the mold. He went out, he met them. I mean, you look at the way all of the disciples were called. They all had an encounter with Jesus where he went to them. I was recently listening to a podcast from someone in the US who was talking about the theory that the disciples probably actually didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah for a great deal of the time that they followed him. But Jesus still took them on the journey, still took them on the story. I mean, they stuffed up big time. The moment that, you know, we hang the Catholic Church as starting Peter, you are my rock, and on this rock I'll build my church. The next sentence he says to Peter is, get behind me, Satan. Imagine being friends with Jesus. Look at this guy, I don't even know anymore. But Jesus was consistent in one thing, and that was meeting people where they're at and calling them into the story, calling them into the journey. You know, the guys this morning in the plenary session, amazing what they said about what discipleship is. And I think all too often I see youth ministries that expect young people to be at this place that they're just not at. And from what I can tell from most of the young people we work with, they don't want to be there either. They want to be young people. And so we call them to holiness. And when they stuff up big time, we call them on about it and we talk to them and we ask them where they're at and we say, hey, how do you think you were treating this person with respect when that happened? But we don't expect them to be perfect the whole time. And that's a really big issue when working with young people. So the question is, right now, where are the young people in your parish? Physically, emotionally. And when I say parish in this context, I mean in a geographical sense. Whenever I ask the question, where are young people in your parish, I always get the answer, well, there are no young people in our parish. Really? So every single house in the bounds of your parish doesn't have young people in it? Well, no, because like, imagine if Jesus just set up a little thing, said, this is the new church now. Jesus, where are the people in your church? There are no young people in my church. But Jesus says, yeah, but they're not here. So the question is, I want to leave that hang with you for 10 seconds. Where are the young people in your parish? So let's start by talking about where young people are physically. I spoke in that video, I spoke a little bit about our ministry, Ignite Connect. This is a ministry that we worked a little bit with the guys from Impact in Perth. They run Grip Leadership now. Ronan McGuinness, Bruce Downs, those guys. We worked a little bit on this theory and we took it a little bit further than they did. So what it is, Ignite Connect is probably my favourite of the Ignite family of ministries. So our young people love coming to youth group. They love hanging out. They love hanging out with each other. They love hanging out with their leaders. But they are really afraid about inviting friends. And the friends that they're not afraid of inviting usually have already got such a stereotype of the church, they're really just not that interested in coming. So we thought, where can we meet young people exactly where they're at? So this has been running for about 12 months now. We have three locations across Brisbane. For Brisbane people, Indooroopilly McDonald's, the Hungry Jacks at Carindale, and the brand new McDonald's at Chermside. We run small groups every fortnight in each one of those. We have a leader that meets them there at 4 o'clock. They hang out, they play games, they grab food like they would in the afternoon. And then in the final 10 or 20 minutes, we've got a bit of a reflection sheet and we just pull it out. It's got a bit of scripture on it. And the leaders will also at some point just go around the circle individually with each person. Hey, how's your week been? What's the biggest thing in your week? What are you worried about right now? And it provides that one-on-one connection, and even better, our leaders have access to these guys' lives. They've built this relationship. Malcolm finished before, for those who are in his session, talking about the importance of relationship. These guys have built this relationship now. And the invitation that comes from that, the ability to invite somebody who's not interested in church to a church event after they now know the people that are involved is so much easier. And it's so, so critical that you have that relationship before you have that invitation. So that's Ignite Connect. And it came from, like I said, the guys in Perth. They did a similar thing where they met in libraries and meeting rooms and places like that. We thought we wanted to make it less confrontational, so we went fast food. And it also comes from, again, the guys were talking this morning about Saddleback Church. Their youth ministry does an awesome thing over summer break where every Wednesday they go to a McDonald's and they run a thing called We Buy the Coats. And they reckon they get 1,000 young people. And everyone just brings their friends and they say, you know what, we're going to buy Coke for everyone that comes. And along they come. This is taking church outside the boundaries, hey? Like, this is meeting young people physically where they're already going to be. And the amount, actually, just last Tuesday, I was hanging out at the Indooroopilly Connect. I love to get along to them as much as I can. I love the ministry. We were hanging out there, and this girl came along, and she just finished detention, and she knew one of the girls in the group, and she called her over, and she stuck around for the whole group. And I don't know how quickly things can escalate in high school world, but this girl is now coming to our conference, and she's just been engaged with us for less than a week. And just the right relationships happen at the right time. And we know, like, we can say in the way that God moves, this girl is going to really meet Jesus, really encounter Jesus at this conference. Who knows what comes next? But I think that's really exciting. So that's Ignite Connect. The second thing we did is called Ignite Launch. Ignite Launch, for anyone that heard about it, we thought, where do young people like hanging out where we could run a youth event? And 12 months later, here we were at Movie World on the Gold Coast. And so we worked with their corporate team, and we booked out a venue in there. And so we had a normal day at the park, whole day at the park, then Movie World put on dinner, and then we went into the show stage, which is a venue like this, seats about 2,000 people, and Emmanuel Worship played, and we did a really quick introduction to who is Jesus, what is Jesus about, and why should you believe in Jesus? Just really quick, 10-minute kind of deal. It, as me, you know, in my first year of Ignite Youth, is the scariest thing I've ever done. 2 weeks out, we had 80 registrations for it. I knew that we were going to massively lose money on this thing. Like, we needed to hit 200 in order to actually break even on it. I was freaking out. Long story short, day of, we had over 300 people there. So it was an amazing event. First time event, 300 people was just so cool. But the reason being, no one could say, oh, I can't invite my friend to this because they don't like church things. Oh, my friends will say they don't want to come to church stuff. It is so much easier to say, hey, do you want to come to Movie World with me and my mates? Than it is to say, hey, do you want to come to youth group on Friday night? And so one of the things that we're really proud of in this is that we have people who are now connected with our movement, young people who are now connected with our movement as a result of Ignite Launch. And the reason why this is really exciting is because many of them were invited by friends who are already in our youth group. They are now doing the role of evangelization. The young people in our youth group, we're now empowering to evangelize their friends. And that's great for me because it means I have less work. This is something we haven't done as Ignite Youth, but it's something I did when I was deanery youth coordinator of one of the deaneries in Brisbane. Our learning from Protestants, they have just got such a good market on this in the public school system. And I'm so annoyed that we haven't done it as well in the Catholic school system. If you are working in parish or deanery ministry and you have a Catholic high school in your parish or deanery, can I please ask you to put together a quick report on the stats of what happens when young people go to school without breakfast and how many young people are going to school without breakfast? Have a meeting with the APRE at the school. Be really lovely, be really nice, be really gentle and say, hey, me and a group from our parish really want to come and cook pancakes once a month at the school. We promise we won't promote anything. We're just going to come and cook pancakes for the school. Now connect straight back into your parish and start doing pancake drives. Sell them on the vision of this. We want to support and meet young people where they're at insert name of local school that everyone knows because it's just down the road. We just want to support them and we need your help. Next time you go shopping, can you just grab a pancake shaker? There's going to be a basket at the back of the church. We'd love it if you could just chuck it in there. People love that kind of gear. They're going to fill it up. Then, once a month, you're on the local school. You're building relationship on that school. Be honest with where you're from and start relationships with the young people there. You get your young adult leaders in their 20s to 30s that are there just having conversations. They're not promoting, they're just being there. And if a young person's really connecting with them, then take the opportunity to say, hey, this Sunday, we've actually got a thing on the church. You should come. It'd be so cool to hang out with you. You should come to this thing at church. Now, when we did this in the deanery, we took it a step further and we invited the young people from the local school that was already engaged in our ministry. They were cooking as well. So we did this, for anyone that knows the school, we did this with Lewards Hill in Hawthorne in Brisbane, and they were so good to us and it was so fantastic. We saw our youth group grow from 20 to 80 overnight because of this ministry, and the boys loved it. Lewards Hill's an all-girls school. We saw our youth group become like 60 girls to like 20 boys, and the boys, and so then when that happens, there's a growth in boys because there's 60 girls and only 20 boys, and so that worked so successfully for us. We're on campus once a month. We had girls from our ministry, female leaders on campus cooking pancakes and making relationships with these students. It was so easy. It was so easy to get out of the box and meet young people where they're at. The other thing is, if there's a campus minister in that school, get them involved. Say, we just want to empower you in your role. We want you to be empowered in your role and genuinely mean that. Serve everybody. And can I just warn you as a side note? I want to say this and not come off too offensive, but can I just warn you as a side note that if you have somebody involved in your ministry who feels that they can't talk to young people on their level, we had a leader who couldn't control her temper when young people wouldn't listen to her and would yell at them. Do not take them into an environment like this. You do not want to encourage stereotypes of the church. You want young, relatable, easygoing people there. It's such a cool idea. It works so well for us. Social media. Oh my goodness. Social media is such a good place to meet young people where they're at. I did a whole talk on this yesterday at CDMC. The moment that a young person likes a post on your page, there is a small chance that one of their friends is going to see that post in their newsfeed. Do you want that post seen in their friend's newsfeed? Is it going to embarrass them if it's seen in their friend's newsfeed? Or is it going to make their friend say, hey, I would like to go to that, please, friend? This works. We've seen this work. So what are you posting on social media? Post regularly. Post good content. But post content that meets young people exactly where they're at, particularly when it comes to marketing your events and your ministry. By the way, they're our social media handles. I don't care what you do with them, but we're really close to 1,000 on Facebook. So just IGYOUTH. Just ignite you. It's fine. We've just got a little bit of time left, and I'm just going to show you this really quickly, hopefully. One of the keys that's working really well for us is wrap-up of events. We now always post photos and videos of our events because they're becoming our greatest marketing tool. Wrap-ups are becoming really good marketing for us. This is one from the Movie World event. So that's a pretty good idea of what we go for. Just lots of shots, lots of people, happy, fun. That one does go on to show the other parts of the day. And to show how well this works, we really got inspired by this at the start of the year when we did our teenage summer camp that we do every year. And we get some of our best film and video guys to stay up all night on the last night to work on a video so that the Sunday morning we can play it back to them. We have this beautiful, highly produced video, and we're so thankful for our volunteers that do it. But of course, as soon as we get home, we get it online. It's online by 5 p.m. that night, and our teenagers start liking, commenting, tagging, all of that in it. Now, this is extremely successful. We aren't afraid to show our full scope of our ministry. So happy shots like those ones are great, but we're completely prepared to throw in the mix of that worship rallies, mass, adoration, anything that we're doing at our events. And people go, no, you'll scare high schoolers with that. So that video from our summer camp in the first 12 hours got 4,000 views in the first 12 hours of being online. There are 150 students at the camp. Then what happened next was what inspired us so much. We had teenagers in our ministry who said, the cool kids from school messaged me and said, everyone looks so happy at that thing you went to, how can I go to something like it? And my initial instinct, being a one-time cool kid at school, was they are getting ready for the greatest moment of bullying you have ever seen, and like braced myself. And now the person that said that, the leader of the cool kid at that school, is engaged in our ministry. These wrap-up videos provide a window of these young people seeing the hope that we provide. Don't be afraid. In fact, I'd urge you to get as much stuff online in terms of photos, all that kind of stuff, of young people just being young people at your event. Social media is the greatest tool you'll find. These guys are so isolated. And when you're, seriously, this generation is so connected and so isolated at the same time. The moment that you provide opportunities where they can see genuine, authentic connection, they want in. But if you're advertising your event with the imagery that we use because we're comfortable as a church, they're just going to see it as a stereotype church thing. But I could talk for hours on how we need to change our marketing mindset of, oh, that's a really nice photo of a stained glass window with a monstrance in front of it. Those high schoolers that have never been to church will be so excited to come to our youth group. We need to change our mindset from that. The most beautiful thing we do at Ignite Conference every year is adoration. But we would never market it. We would never, ever put that somewhere really prominent. In fact, the times we do, the monstrance is like here, and every Catholic spots it and goes, that's a bit risky putting the monstrance there. Yeah, but you're not noticing the 1,000 kids in the shot and the colourful lights above them that the teenager's seeing and going, I didn't even notice the monstrance when I saw that. We have to meet young people where they're at with our marketing.
Right. Fantastic. And then look at the question of where are they emotionally? Where are young people in their state of growing up? Now, talking teenagers perhaps predominantly, but perhaps look work with young adults, so think about that for young adults as well. Where are that? Who are they? So young people are searching for identity. They're at a stage in their life, we've all been there, where you're searching for who am I? What's my role? Like, faith aside, who am I meant to be? What are my gifts? Who are my friends? Why are they my friends? What's the role of my family? They're trying to discover who they are. Bring faith in there as well, obviously, as well. Who is God? What is this church thing all about? If I grew up in church, why is it important to my parents and should it be important to me? If I didn't grow up in church, what is it that some people fight wars about and go to church for and whatever else? Understand who young people are. Doing my piece of paper. And just the fact that young people are wounded, young people are broken. I think one of the traps I used to fall into anyway was thinking that the kids who were involved in youth group were the kids who had it all together, the kids who were spiritually mature, the kids who were who were just ready to go, and there's all the other kids who maybe needed help. But we've come to realise through the ministry that actually the kids who are in ministry in our youth group are just as broken as the ones out there. Now, they might have obviously worked through some more things, and they might have the faith as part of it as well. But we need to remember that young people in our ministries, young people in our church, young people in our pews and our families still deal with the self-esteem, still deal with the body image things, still deal with some of the stats that we showed earlier. They still deal with that. And they're still broken and they're wounded. And they're still learning about who they are. They're still learning about the purpose of it all. One of the things that we do is we tend to think of all of our events having a level one base. So pretty much every outreach event we run, whether it's the big camp conference mountaintop sort of thing, whether it's Ignite launch in Moving World, whether it's our youth group, there's always this level one base that is accessible to anyone who's never been to anything before. So we always have the element of there's people there with no presumed knowledge of God, faith, Bible, church, sacraments, anything like that. Now obviously, as people grow and as they just develop in their faith, and we call for discipleship beyond the evangelization, we'll have opportunities for formation programs and things like that, discipleship mentoring for them to help them grow in their faith. But from an event perspective and from a one-on-one relationship perspective of things like Connect, it's always understanding that young people come in at level one, what we call it. And I think one of the things Scott alluded to a bit earlier as well is that essentially what we're doing, we're an instrument, we're a tool for God to do his thing. Obviously, that's all we ever are. And one of the things where our role is to do is to invite young people into this story, into this God story, so they can see who he is. And like Scott said, it doesn't matter where they step up, how well they do that, what their journey is, whether it's a steep step up or steep step down or up and down, up and down, up and down. It's embracing them where they are and allowing them to be that person. And letting God do his thing. We do our thing by being accessible and available, but it's God who changes hearts. Yeah, and finally the thing is that we need to remember what the young people's needs are. I think sometimes some of us go into youth ministry aware of the huge gap, the huge need for young people, and aware of the one message that we have that we feel is the most important thing they need to know. And sometimes if you let that message, even the gospel message, get in the way, a particular saint maybe of the gospel message, about a sacrament or the Eucharist, or need to know about saints or something like that, we let that get in the way of actually evangelising young people, of allowing young people to encounter Christ. Because we're caught up in this message of we wish every young person would just know this. But you need to do that built on the relationships. The relationships are always first. The relationships are always the things that give people access into their lives so that you can then raise questions, raise issues, discuss things with them. So I guess one of the key things is that we learned is that we don't, the message that we want to impart in our, I guess, humanness or Nazil, to get in the way of God's story, what he needs to do in their life first and foremost.
Cool. I just want to wrap up with our final point. So I guess the point so far has been really, I think, it's always beautiful and God makes this happen, but really where Malcolm kind of left was about this authentic relationship thing. And for us, that's so key. It's about being in the real world and having authentic relationships between leaders, young people, between, you know, even our priests and young people. And I think that is so incredibly key. But in order to have those authentic relationships, you need authentic leadership. This has been such a call for us over the last 12 months, is how do we make sure that we have leaders that are living the gospel message themselves, or at least trying their hardest to live that gospel message, meeting with our young people. So all of our leaders at Ignite Youth are required to have a mentor. We have an approved list of mentors, and they're required to meet with that mentor a minimum of once a month. To track where they are, to keep up with them, to just do life with them. This is really important and a really good thing that I think we do. The second thing is we're constantly forming our leaders. So our leaders meet once a month at an event called Ignite Masterclass, and we get together some of the best minds, some of the best youth ministry minds that we have access to minister to these guys. It's not once a month, sorry, I take that back, it's once a term. And they're just really good. They're good, fun, all-in nights. Our director, Pat Keady, gets up and shares the vision again. Everyone shares about where they're at and what's going on. We'll usually challenge if we've had something that's come up over the last month that we don't really like the direction of. We'll challenge and we'll work on what we should be doing better. And then we'll have a speaker get up and share a little bit. We've had people like John Brady, even for those who are in the Men Alive crowd, Pete Gabor, shared just some really good, solid youth ministry names. As well as that, we send them to conferences a lot. We sent our entire high school leadership team to a mental health and wellbeing forum for adolescents this year, which I don't think they've ever been more bored in their life. But they now all know why not to say the words, "Are you eating that much?" to a teenage girl. So it was really handy, really helpful. It's very helpful to know who you're ministering to before you begin ministering to them. I want to tell you about this. We're just about to start this, and I'm so excited. We're starting this in 2 days, and I'm so excited about it. Like, if we could have taken this whole hour to have just talked about this, I would have happily done it. Do you get the feeling I'm excited about this? Like, I'm so excited about this. So we are trying to work out how we can get leaders who are on fire for the faith and already formed before they graduate high school. Leaders that are on fire for the faith and already formed before they graduate high school. The other thing is, there'll be people in this room who'll agree with me here and will be scared of agreeing with me because of the last point that Luke made. The other thing is, I personally, and the generation behind me, are a generation that know nothing about the church. They know so little about the church. And I'm sure there's people that can give me examples of where I'm wrong on that. But it's actually true. They just haven't got the kind of formation that a lot of generations ahead of us have. And we thought it's time that we do something, because we want to be a real world, we want to meet people where they're at, but at the same time we want highly formed future leaders. So this is what we're doing. This has been reconceptualized from a number of different areas, so it may sound familiar to some people. We're going to invite a select group of year 11s and year 12s to do discipleship and leadership training in their final 2 years of school. We're going to do this across 6 weekends of the year. One of those weekends includes a retreat live-in type weekend. And the first year, while they're in year 11, they're going to focus on discipleship. We want these guys to be extremely trained in a number of areas, including understanding the Mass, the importance of the Mass, understanding the fathers of our church, understanding the saints, understanding the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of that kind of stuff. And something that we think is awfully important in our movement, they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are the things that we're going to do in their first year. In their second year, we're going to take them on an intensive youth ministry training course. These guys are going to know exactly how to meet young people where they're at, minister to them, mentor them, run games in a youth group, how to present a talk, how to tell their testimony, how to disciple a young person. And they're going to graduate from high school being a highly trained disciple. We're so excited about what this means. We're so excited about where this goes. And beyond that, we're so excited about the idea that this is going to be a program that will probably begin forming high school leaders. So every one of our Catholic high school years, here's a vision, 10 years. Imagine every Catholic high school leader in Brisbane, school captain, etc., in 10 years, every single one of them knows Jesus, knows their identity in Jesus, and is on fire for the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what that will do to our Catholic education system, let alone the young people in those schools, if their school captains are faithful Catholics? No one's as excited about this as I am. Gosh, I'm so excited about this. I know I'm excited about this. So this is our high school leadership and discipleship program that we're really, really excited about, that we're going to try and really roll out over the next 2 years. And we're really excited about it. And it starts Saturday. And please pray for it. So, that's everything we wanted to input. I think we've got about 5 minutes. If anyone has anything sticking out they'd like to ask about or comment on or anything like that, we would be more than welcome to be grilled. Yeah?
What about Sydney?
Well, since the whole State of Origin loss, we're really feeling quite sore about it. And we're just generally avoiding New South Wales. No, it's good. I don't really know how to respond to that. I do want to say that we're working, well, I personally have got a great relationship with Bernard and Emma and the guys, and Tom and the guys in the diocesan office. And those guys have got a real vision for youth ministry that I think is going to captivate the city pretty. I think what they've got planned for the next 12 months is very exciting. It would be my answer to that.
The only thing I'd add to it is I think what we're trying to do is respond to the need where God places us. Our predominant area is Brisbane, so that's where obviously we're operating. And I guess our challenge, God's opening areas, and we don't know where God's going to take us next little while. We do work at a national level in some ways. But you know what, today wasn't really about us solving all the issues of things. It was really trying to give an example of how we've responded to God in our area. And I think every city, every state, every diocese, every whatever, needs to ask the questions that we asked ourselves 5, 10 years ago, whatever else, and build into. So, and what about Sydney? What about any place? I don't know. Like, we're responding how where God's calling us to respond. And I guess we're happy to partner with and work with people and all that sort of thing. But I think the question that we would want to leave is, what's God asking you to do in your parish, in your school, in your diocese?
Without being the ageist, how important is the age profile of the person that's trying to engage?
Really, really good question. And I think we come off as quite polarising with this. But so to be completely honest, my director, so my boss, Pat Keady, is 46. And he will often say things that are really cool that young people love, and I'll have to lie and claim that I came up with it to seem cooler than him. He's done that a few times. So he's 46 and still fantastic youth ministry. And then above him is Shane Bennett, who's the moderator of our community and is the vision caster and the dreamer and the idea sorcerer of all these ideas for Ignite Youth. And he, I don't want to say how old he is in case I get it wrong.
I don't know how old he is.
But 60s. So so I don't think that, I think that it's about a mix. And we know that our young adult leaders can meet our young people where they're at in a way that older people just can't, because these guys are the same generation. And the way technology is moving at the moment, I mean, I've got 18-year-old leaders that don't understand how 14-year-olds use technology because of how quickly it moves. But I think that's important. But the only reason that I, at 25, can be as successful as I am in youth ministry is because of Luke ahead of me and Pat ahead of him and Shane ahead of him. And we don't only believe that, but we operate out of it. So, yeah, I think all age groups are important in it. Yeah.
You say about going into your local schools and arranging for a pancake day and things like that. Do you mean Catholic schools or state schools as well?
I'd encourage you to go state where you can. Our Protestant mega churches in Brisbane have taken all the state schools and have done a really good job of it, a just really impressive job. And I know in Sydney, Hillsong do a lot as well, amongst C3 and a few other churches down here.
Yes, because there's a few other churches other than Catholic that have taken on exactly
you, isn't it? No, it's solely Catholic movement. We as a movement market into state schools now, and we get a lot from our local mega churches. It's really surprising in Brisbane, they were so surprised by how smick our marketing was that we kind of got invited into this secret club of mega church youth ministries, and they're really awkward because we're Catholic, but we don't know how to deal with you, but it's really beautiful. And we all work together, and we all talk and exchange ideas occasionally. So, yeah, but we are a Catholic youth ministry. Night Youth is Catholic, totally.
Thanks for listening to the Proclaim 2014 podcasts, recorded by Cradio and XT3.com.